You're now listening to Tales from World Asunder.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Simon. I'll be your GM. And joining me, as always, are the notorious Nick.
It's me.
And the lovely Louisa.
Hi.
It's not her.
In our last episode, our heroes spent some well-earned downtime gathering rest and information in the hidden village of Tres Barrancas. Research was conducted into the magical nature of Omar's injuries, stories were traded of possible dragons in the east, and important messages were traded with loved ones. The moment of peace was shattered, however, by the ambush entry of members of the Meridian Survey Corps, some of them bearing the same markings as Omar, clearly and violently intending to take him with them. And with that, we open on Adelaide's surprise round. At the tail end of last episode, we established, Adelaide, you have, having correctly surmised that these new arrivals were up to no good, you've made your way towards a group of them at one end of this atrium, now packed with denizens of the village ready to trade. You have an opportunity in this moment to act before anyone else does. You are in a large 80 foot by 40 foot hall. The atrium of the settlement of Tres Barrancas, where people have come to trade with these newcomers. Adelaide, you and the two that you've spoken to are in a corner of the room near the front door. Because remember, you were at the counter where before you had been asked to give up your weapons. That was the conversation that was occurring. The rest of the group of people you now assume to be Survey Corps are all gathered near that end of the hall, near the entryway. They hadn't been sort of processed yet. The hall is full of people and goods. For the moment, it will not be particularly difficult to get through there. As events begin to unfold, it may become more and more difficult to navigate in ways that we'll have to chart specifically. Where would Mila be at the beginning of this fight?
Mila always comes out, I think, when there are people coming through. She's eager to look at goods, at things that she might not have been able to acquire since leaving the city. So wherever there are goods to be looked at, especially anything magical, that's where she would have been.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to say that you are in the middle of the hall then, looking at some of the wares that have already been set out. Omar has been making his way towards you and is also sort of already having entered the hall.
No, baby.
Otavia is essentially dead center, sort of coordinating, and Paz is off at the far end of the hall watching people come through.
And just for clarity, mm-hmm. The Survey Corps people are at the closer to the counter?
They're all at the front end, yes. They're all at the entryway.
Okay.
Roughly how many are there? Can Adelaide do a quick head count?
There are 9. You counted on the way in. I will also say, a key part of this stage is that it is full of people who are not participating in combat. If you want to direct those people, talking in D&D is a free action. Persuasion and direction are not. If you want to direct a group of people to leave, it will be a bonus action. And depending on how well you do on your persuasion check, or, I mean, if you want to suggest another stat, that will determine how many people you are able to successfully guide out of the chamber. It is not only about telling people to get out, it is about effectively communicating how people should be moving.
For Adelaide's turn, the first thing he's going to do is give a very loud, very sharp whistle that he would have at least communicated to Paz and hoped that Paz communicated to Otavia, means something is going down, and basically a danger whistle.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard to convey intensity with that kind of whistle of the issue, but it is clear that something is not right.
You see, by the way, both of them take notice, both Otavia and Paz.
Adelaide will take his shotgun and place the tip of it directly on whoever seems to be leading this group. We'll place it on their chest.
A reminder, you are adjacent to two of them.
I know, one of them. Keeping the other directly in line of sight. And we'll just very sternly say, I suggest you make this easy on everyone and just leave.
Make an intimidation roll.
No. That's a 3.
Oh, no.
Is that Adelaide's turn?
I will then hold my action. Adelaide will place his finger on the trigger. And if it becomes abundantly clear that they are about to attack and or draw a weapon, Adelaide will pull the trigger directly into this guy's chest.
That guy is first in the initiative order, so...
God damn.
As Adelaide, you ready yourself for the potential of an escalation. The individual who you're actively threatening will crack a grin, put his hands up behind his head.
Oh, you think that scares me?
And as you see his eyes begin to go inky black...
I'm going to take the shot.
Roll to hit with advantage.
It's an 18.
An 18 definitely hits.
This is 2d8 plus 3 damage. Oh, and as the shot rings out, the runes on the barrel of the shotgun light up very, very rapidly, as if you can see the bullet traveling down the chamber in a series of red, almost orange flashes, as Razzie imbues his energy into the shot, which is going to deal an extra d6 fire damage. It's 15 damage.
Your shot, imbued as it is with fire, absolutely obliterates this man's torso. A shot rings out, and immediately the room begins to panic. The tension in the room immediately escalates. And you see the inky black eyes on the head stare directly at you with a laughing grin that tells you that dying was nowhere near something this man was afraid of. All of the other members of the Survey Corps, you see that their eyes have changed as well. And the head from the ground says,
so only humans fear death. And we ain't been human for a long time.
And you see the man standing next to him, whose tattoos Razzie had revealed, is going to grab Razzie off of his chest with a hand that you see is morphing from a human hand into a claw, and is going to strike Razzie with a series of claw attacks. What is Razzie's AC?
16.
Razzie is our tank.
The figure will grab Razzie in a claw, and with the tips of his now elongated nails will puncture the underside near Razzie's stomach, and then Razzie will wriggle out. The second attack misses, the first hits. And that will hit for 7 points of piercing damage. The figure stares at you, Adelaide, as his face elongates into a muzzle of essentially a giant or human-sized jackal. And the last words you understand him to be capable of saying escape his lips.
Even if we don't get him, he'll always be this.
And he will drop to his fours as he begins to turn more rapidly. Next off is actually Otavia, who is going to use both of her actions, so action and bonus action, to try and get people to evacuate. As soon as she hears a shot ring out, she starts barking out orders. Oh boy. You see that people start moving, but she's... I mean, this is a true surprise. People had flooded in all sorts of inconvenient ways if you need to evacuate a room very quickly. And you see that, I mean, she's communicating very effectively and people are listening, but people don't know what's going on and don't understand the potential severity of the situation. So there is still panic in the room as of this moment. Another shot rings out and lands in Otavia's shoulder. Not enough to knock her prone, but enough to shut her up for the moment and deals pretty significant damage. Adelaide, that is you.
I'm going to attempt to shoot the one that hurt Razzie. That's not bad. In fact, that's very good. 22 to hit.
22 to hit will hit.
Once again, Razzie will give me an extra d6 fire damage. That's 18 points of damage.
You see that it just sinks into this figure's flesh, almost unflinching. You clearly hit and you clearly did damage, but there appears to be no reaction to that damage.
Adelaide will use his bonus action to command Razzie, and it just barks out, Razajet! And Razzie is going to bite this motherfucker. It's not great. 13 to hit?
Does not hit. Paz is actively going to dash, moving through people that is essentially rough terrain to get to Otavia in the middle of the room. As he gets within range of Otavia, Mila, he also gets within range of you and, importantly, Omar. You feel the intense calm of someone who knows how to handle themselves in incredible distress. And just Paz's presence will give you and Omar +3 on saving throws.
Oh, okay.
While you stay around him, there are a couple more Survey Corps members who are up. One of them rips a little piece of fabricated, like, paper magic and turns invisible. The other one clocks Omar and touches two fingers to right above his collarbone in his neck and begins muttering something. It immediately makes Omar double over.
Give me an arcana check.
He has fallen to the ground prone, and on his turn, will need to make saves. You don't quite know what's going on, but Mila, you watch Omar drop to the ground. Another one of the Survey Corps members has fully turned in that time, and is also going to dash through the crowd to get closer to Mila and Omar. Another Survey Corps unturned, so still physically, visibly human, is going to do the same, is going to dash in. So there are now two that are within melee range, but they've used their actions to get this far.
Okay.
You see they've, like, pushed people aside, knocked over wares and stalls to, like, get to you. And that has meant that they won't attack on this turn, but they are in range. The one who has turned, you see, is similarly bestial, but a different animal. The body has increased in size such that clothing has started to rip, and fully quadrupedal. This is a fully no longer human form. Mila, that is you up.
Mila would first like to try and use her bonus action to call out and try and direct people to leave the atrium.
Mm-hmm. Roll persuasion.
That's an 18 for a 22.
Hell yeah. In the face of incredible nearby danger, Mila, you take your first move to incredibly efficiently begin directing people out and away. You see that Paz and Otavia both clock that you're doing this. What you have done not only will begin to get people clearing out, but has effectively given them advantage to doing the same.
Okay, great.
For subsequent rounds, you have started getting people orderly evacuated.
Mila does it mostly out of the panic of thinking we need to get people out of here, but feels a little bit more level-headed in her success. Takes her staff from her back and is going to point it at the Turn Survey Corps member and say, "Oh no, you don't." And cast Tasha's Hideous Laughter.
All right. That's a save for him, right?
That is going to be a wisdom save. These guys look so wise to me.
Does not make it.
Hell yes. You hear again the echo of laughter and twinkling as feathers start appearing and this beast doubles over in laughter. That is going to be Mila.
Mila has acted this round immediately to neutralize danger, to get people out, to get this turned aggressor neutralized. But as Omar's turn begins right after, he's going to be making these saves.
And, excuse me, DM. I actually believe he's going to be rolling a nat 20 with my portent roll.
Ha!
On this very first one. It's as if there's a weave all around her. And even before Omar can roll that save, she can feel that string being tucked and see that something is happening. And as she is doing these other things still, she turns and puts a hand down to him, still with her staff on the other hand, and says to him as he's doubling over, "Stay with me, baby." And is going to give him that nat 20.
Amazing. Even though he's successful, this has taken the wind out of him. He's like struggling to get a breath. He can't speak in turn. As you reach down and feel his shoulders untense just a little bit, his success on this check means for him that this isn't just inevitable. He will not have a turn. He will forego his round despite succeeding on this check. That's how much it takes out of him. And with that, the last two members of the Survey Corps who have not yet moved,
there's so many,
are going to take out rifles and begin firing. They're going to miss important targets. They're not going to miss entirely. And so people begin to fall, hit with gunshot wounds, and tension will continue to rise. Adelaide, it is the turned Survey Corps member in front of you. It is his move. He's just gonna swing at you. What is Adelaide's AC?
14.
I am so sorry, my friend. That is a dirty and a natural 20.
silvery fucking barbs.
Hell yeah.
All right, he will have to reroll one of those attacks.
Correct, Mila, with the hand that isn't on Omar, flicks her staff and a silvery beam hits this dude in the chest for that nat 20, I'm hoping.
All right, I will reroll it.
And I will give advantage to Adelaide on a check in the next minute.
As Mila reaches out and hits this creature, the strike that would have fully hit you in the head, Adelaide, just kind of warps to miss you. Mm. But the second, which is a bite, still hits for just 5 points of damage.
Okay, that's fine.
Otavia is going to use her bonus action to try and guide people out. For the mechanically interested, the way that this is working is on a successes versus failures track. Essentially, 3 more successes than failures will count as everyone is out. But certain things that the enemies can do count as failures.
Such as taking pot shots at the crowd.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
That is a success. You see that Otavia, while still telling people to leave, still barking orders, will string up an arrow, fire, hit the guy whose action was clearly most directly affecting Omar, directly in the throat, and he drops to
Badass
the ground.
Badass motherfucker.
She's so cool. I'm so scared of her.
Another of the Survey Corps members goes after her and is going to dash towards the far end of the room. Take his full movement to just dash. You are not entirely sure for what purpose. Adelaide, that is you up.
With a loud click, the shotgun opens and the used cartridges fly out, and he reloads 2 new ones with his bonus action. He'll then shove the still slightly smoking barrel deep into the fur of the jackal beast and just pull the trigger. That's super high. It's 16 plus 7, just 23. I assume that hits. The runes once again ripple to life with Razi's fire and deals 17 points of damage.
You hear the sizzling hot shot fire in and just stick. That's the only way you can understand what's going on, is that this transformed flesh is just holding all of this in it. You've, like, left a wound, but nowhere near as strong a wound as would be normal for a shot that killer. Paz will take his move right after Adelaide and will literally lay a hand on Otavia's shoulder, and you see that the gunshot wound at his touch begins to heal. Because we love a cowboy paladin. That is his action. He will attempt to gain another success in getting people out of here. That is a natural 20. I'm
Whoa.
Rolling hot
today. Does that count as 2 successes?
That does.
Oh my god.
As Paz shouts out, Adelaide, you hear this gravity in his voice, an authority and a connection and a sense of how important this is, that his touch literally heals and his voice carries, and people just know what to do. The room begins to empty, and more people are getting to safety. You, Mila, you see that the turned aggressor in front of you takes a second to breathe, clearly stops laughing, has broken the spell. He doesn't have the rest of his turn, but he's no longer affected. Meanwhile, the non-turned person who had run up with him is going to take a moment to attack.
Me?
Yes, you.
Me, the most effective person in this combat so far?
Well,
the person who just A, clearly used magic and shot a beam at my ally? Yes, I think he's going to attack you. I'm assuming a 15 hits.
That does.
So, the non-turned Survey Corps member in front of you is going to pull a dagger from his belt and go in for a melee attack. He hits you with a thrust that you are just able to make sure hits your arm and not your chest for 6 points of piercing damage.
Okay, that is not more than half my hit points, but it is close. Mila has never been stabbed before in her life. She's not pleased.
Speaking of which, unpleased and stabbed, Mila, that is your move.
Otavia killed the one that was trying to turn Omar, right?
Uh-huh.
And then there is one unturned one in front of me. And, oh, and the turned one as well. Uh-huh. And I don't have any fucking... Mila, still holding her staff, is gonna kind of put it between herself and the person who just attacked her, try to push him back, and say, no, I think it's him you want, and cast suggestion.
He is actually going to succeed on that. What does Mila's spellcasting look like in this moment?
Mila touches down to her spell book and thumbs for the page where suggestion has just been copied. But as the suggestion fails, her pink magic doesn't take hold on the other person. And then she will take bonus actions and try and get everyone out.
Uh-huh.
Oh, because we're missing one, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to take my help action from Pinky, who's up above. Oh my god, that's worth 16.
Pinky begins to exit the room in such a way that he can be followed as a literal, like, little guideline. Getting the last of the non-combatants out of the room.
Okay.
Are you directing Pinky anywhere else?
No. I'll ask him to go and come back to and stay close so that he can still help me and do a couple other things.
All right. It is Omar's move. You can feel his body spasming as this magic attempts to force him to change. You see that parts of his tattoo faintly glow as different parts of the magical matrix that has been carved onto him are activated, but you see something. The combination of your being there and his knowing he can fight it, the shining sense of duty to your fellow man that Paz exudes to all around him.
We all pile on.
Some part of that is allowing him to hold on in this moment. But he does not get up from prone. He is not able to fully shake this thing off. You also see that the person who initiated the magic is dead, is no longer among the living.
And it's still going.
This is still going.
I'm good.
A couple of Survey Corps members are going to rush up to join the rest. So now they're all kind of circling around you, Otavia, Paz, and Omar. Mila, one of them with the rifle, takes aim and fires at you. You are able to duck and get out of the way just in time to see a bullet hit Omar. He's knelt over, so in the shoulder where it connects with the chest, for just shy of half his total HP. Adelaide, you are able to dodge as this bestial aggressor once again goes to swipe at you. But in dodging, you open yourself up for another bite for 8 points of piercing damage.
Okay. Still up. Not great, but not terrible.
Okay. Otavia, seeing that everybody is now out, is going to draw the cutlass that you saw was at her side. Since the moment you've met her, she's kept it on her. And is going to go for the turned one of the group in front of you. You see she slashes and hits, sort of carving a line up this beast's chest. And you see as she does so, that there is like a glimmer of liquid with which she has covered her blade begins to deal way more damage to this creature than just a hit with the sword would.
She is so badass.
Just slicing this guy with a poisoned saber. Adelaide, as she finishes that attack, that is your move.
Okay, Adelaide will once again sort of sidestep, wheel around, and try and get this motherfucker in the eye with the shotgun. And just go, why won't you fucking die? Another 23 or so. Once again, with the extra fire damage. Not great. 9 points of damage.
You fire again into this creature's face. These sizzling pieces of shot just sit like a centimeter and a half into the flesh and are just frozen there. Whatever magic is transforming this person has also transformed their flesh in such a way that it can take an incredible amount of punishment without faltering. You see it start to bleed from these wounds you've made in its face and growl with a deep, guttural voice. You've asked it a question it cannot answer you.
Does it look close to death, can I tell? Or is it still, like, fine?
It's looking closer. It still needs a couple hits.
Jeez.
Okay.
The amplification part of the transformation is no fucking joke.
Adelaide is going to then point at one of the military personnel that has been shooting into the crowd with their rifles and call out to Razi, saying, Ibarith! And Razi is going to go and bite the guy.
That turned guy, I think, will get an attack of opportunity.
On Razi?
Yeah, sure.
Razi's AC was
16.
60, he won't hit.
That's 22 from Razi to hit.
That'll definitely hit, yeah.
So Razi latches onto this guy's Achilles tendon and deals 7 points of piercing damage.
Fully takes out this guy's leg.
Yeah.
Not off, but just like bites down to bone. This guy is really, really not looking good.
And that is my turn.
All right. Paz follows Adelaide and is going to get in between as many of these guys and Mila and Omar as is possible, draw a cavalry saber. And as you see him slash, it glows almost with a light. This attacker is not looking good. At the end of that round, you see that the Survey Corps member who dashed to the other side of the room will dart down one of the tunnels.
No.
Fully exiting the room. Mila, you wheel around and see someone come out of invisibility.
Forgot about that one.
As this attacker goes to knife Omar. He missed so spectacularly. On advantage, on a prone guy. I will say you literally are able, as he comes out of invisibility, as he's attempting to attack, to just push him out of the way. Just fully get him out of there. He misses so horrendously. The beast that has just been slashed twice is going to try and take some attacks on the people nearest it. Both of you, give me a perception check as this is happening.
Okay, that's an 18 for Mila. Should I roll for Pinky as well?
That's good.
25.
A matter of seconds ago, this was a person. It has since been slashed twice and has taken a remarkable amount of damage. Any person would leave this interaction. This being can't.
Nah.
It is outnumbered. It is outpowered. It has to keep attacking. that is what you get on that success. On that 25, it is no longer making decisions under its own power.
Okay.
I'm gonna kill that elf.
It manages to land a hit with its claw on Otavia, dealing her some damage. As that happens, Mila, it is your move. A guy just came out of invisibility behind you. There is one turned individual and two unturned in front of you.
Mila is going to eeny, meeny, miny, mo, pick one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the healthiest looking one, actually, I would say.
Yes.
And is going to try to cast suggestion again. She hits her staff on the ground beneath her and dips into her book and says, because suggestion is about a reasonable course of action. So she says, sometimes the right thing to do is to fight your friends and really, really go wild. And that person is actually going to roll a 10 on their wisdom saving throw. I'm hoping they don't have a plus 5 to it.
If they were that wise, they wouldn't be here.
A pink light courses from Mimula's hand and her spell book all the way across her torso, spirals across around her staff, and an identical spiral of pink comes around this person, almost as strings that would be pulling at their limbs and at their bodies, and their eyes get this pink glaze to them. And she says to the people around, don't get him, as in, like, don't hurt him.
All right, so eyes glazed over. Your allies are aware of who you mean. Mila, you feel at your leg a just grab of a shaking hand and arm as rattled breath follows rattled breath. And Omar remains human. As you see the enemy who Razi had bitten tries to go and attack Razi, Mila, the one you enchanted, fully pulls out a knife, reverse grips it, slits his throat. The man-made monster you have been tackling this whole fight, Adelaide, lunges at you, and you get caught both by the fangs and by the claws for 12 points of piercing damage.
Mila's gonna silvery barb the claw attack.
Still hits.
She'll give advantage to Adelaide.
Adelaide takes the claw, goes down on one knee. The bite bites into his neck. And for a moment, he goes limp. And then anybody watching sees him put his fist on the ground and push himself back onto his feet. Ragged breath. Blood streaming from his neck, from his mouth, from his nose. He spits and cocks his shotgun. Adelaide is on one hit point.
Bitch! Our relentless endurance.
Half-orcs, let's go!
Half-orcs.
Adelaide, just take your turn.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Adelaide will cock his shotgun, open it again, this time very slowly, empty it one shell at a time, reload, close it, and train the barrel once again straight at the jackal's chest. That's another 16 plus 7, but I do not get the fire damage this turn. That's another 17 points of piercing damage.
Oh, come on. Come on.
You aim at the chest of this ragged breathing. I mean, it's full Princess Mononoke wolf blood coming out of the mouth. You look into eyes turned pitch black by magic, and you know that this shot will end whatever suffering this creature is going through. How do you want to do this?
Adelaide will pull the trigger, see the gaping, smoking hole it creates in this beast's chest, and only lingers at the body long enough to say, "I hope you rest in peace. Meanwhile, I've got people I've got to protect." And we'll run to where everybody else is fighting.
In the way it often is and has been in fights Adelaide has been in before, both parties were unstoppable. And as has happened every time it's needed to, Adelaide, you just killed him first. Otavia strikes again with her sword down the top of the head, will take out the other turned combatant.
Nice. Okay.
It is Paz's move next. He looks over at you, Mila, and gestures to the one that you've enchanted. Do we still need him?
He's done his due.
Paz will use the fact that he's been enchanted and is going to grapple him and begin tying him up. As that happens, the guy who is behind you is going to attempt to take another shot at Omar.
As that happens, Mila tries to lash out with another Silvery Barbs, which would use her last spell slot, but she can't. She doesn't have a reaction left.
Having just too little time to conjure up a response, you see that this guy fires a pistol off and hits Omar, but you see some of that transformation just like the flesh just kind of closes around the bullet. It deals damage, but not very much.
He's a big boy. He can take it.
That is you up, Mila. Paz has successfully grappled the combatant. The only one remaining is the one who just took a shot at Omar, the one who had been invisible.
Mila turns around to them and starts moving one of her hands into something of a sphere as the other holds the staff, and is going to cast Chromatic Orb at them. Jesus Christ, it's bad. One of these is a natural one. The other one is a 4 for a total of 11, which I imagine doesn't hit.
No, it does not.
And the only person with an AC low enough to be hit by that is Mila.
Yeah.
It fizzles out, and she goes, "God damn it." She is going to try and see, though, with whatever remains of her turn, like, is Omar still turning? Because the magic didn't stop when the person who conjured it died. So she's trying to figure out, if she can, what is happening there.
Give me an Arcana check.
Okay, that's a 19.
When the battle started, everyone's eyes turned at once. You think that this might be something... Essentially, it might not just be one person who is sort of keeping concentration on the casting here. It might be the presence of any of them.
Note taken. She will at least then kind of... If Omar's still kneeling, she kind of like holds his head to her leg and steps closer, holding the staff in front of her. She's out of spell slots, but...
You feel Omar begin to relax, almost to the point of collapsing onto the floor entirely, as he does not turn. And with the combination of you looking into it on your turn, it seems like whatever presence hasn't left, but has been significantly weakened. Otavia will go next, and will also attempt to grapple and restrain the other guy.
Mila looks at her and says, "Maybe go after the other one. He got in. We've got this."
Otavia will leave down one of the halls. Adelaide, that is you.
Adelaide will whisper to Razzie, and Razzie will scamper off with Otavia. When he gets to her, will climb up on her shoulder and help her look. Adelaide is going to sit the fuck down and cast Cure Wounds on himself. writing runes from his forehead to his chest with some blood that he wipes from the corner of his mouth.
Active combat, Adelaide sits down, is so funny to me.
Well, everybody's tied up, right?
There's still a guy. There's still a guy.
Oh, I thought he was tied up. Sorry.
No.
In which case?
But you're at 1 HP. You can take care of yourself.
Sorry. I thought he had been tied up as well. I misunderstood that. In which case, no, Adelaide's going to turn around and take a shot at that guy.
Roll the hit.
Not great. But I didn't use that advantage.
You still have advantage. Yeah, you didn't
use it. Yeah, I'm going to use the advantage. Much better. It's a 22 to hit.
Hits.
That's 8 points of piercing damage. Adelaide, walking over, picks up the tip of his rifle, trains it, and pulls the trigger. Almost carelessly.
As he hits the ground, from the force of the shot, you see that the blackness leaves his eyes. He is alive, but no longer conscious. Something about the magic leaving him, he's no longer on his feet.
Okay.
It's concerning.
And with that, we are actually out of combat. You see Paz comes up to you. Adelaide will, like, hike you onto his shoulder, because he is just a little bit shorter than you. Will put an arm around you and lay on hands for 15 points of HP.
Woo, baby.
Oh my god. Does Adelaide say that?
Adelaide, as he's being picked up and being hoisted onto Paz's shoulder, will just groan and say, this was close. I'm not happy about how this went. And then the moment the healing takes effect, Adelaide takes a deep breath in as if his lungs are filling with air for the first time, and you see immediately for a moment the blood starts pouring out faster and then stops as his heart rate quickens, and out of his mouth is just Oh fuck.
Mila goes, oh goodness, are you...
He'll be alright. He's still standing.
I'm alright. I just can't do that again.
Okay.
Is that everyone?
Otavia and Mari emerge from one of the tunnels with an unconscious person. It seems like the same way that the magic leaving... Like, that was a single moment that rendered everybody unconscious.
Mila drops to her knees next to Omar and holds his face and to see whether he's okay. Hey, you did so good.
It seems like it's past.
Do you need, like, a nap?
You see he just kind of nods and crumples to the floor.
Right there.
Yeah, he's like, I've said this a bunch this episode. This takes all of his energy. He crumples to the ground and will move eventually, but can't at the moment.
Mila goes, oh, and sits down so that she can kind of hold him to her side so he's resting on her with his head or torso instead of on the ground.
Adelaide, now that things have calmed down even slightly, will see Mari and Otavia coming back and just beeline it over to them, brain buzzing with activity from the adrenaline shot that was lay on hands, and immediately go, all right, so that was bad, and I think we all need to figure something out so that doesn't happen again. I mean, that was the scouts. That wasn't even it was the forward guard. If we can barely survive that, then what's it going to be like when they bring the full force of the military behind them? We need to shore up our defenses.
Give me an insight check.
22.
You see that Mari stays to kind of listen to you. Otavia does not. And on a 22, she has her plan for how to keep this place safe and how to keep these people safe.
Adelaide will, clocking this, turn to face the direction that she's walking away and call after her. I understand that you are in charge around here, and I'm not here to question that. And I'm willing to follow orders if I need to, but you've got people around you who can help. And you've also got a very well-fortified place. We made a mistake. We can shore up here. It's happened before. So let's figure it out, and let's figure it out together.
Give me a persuasion check.
That's a negative one.
I think a lot of Adelaide's lack of charisma comes from his lack of awareness. This is not the moment. You see that Otavia's main concern appears to be that there are bodies of non-combatants here that need to be moved. You see that Paz is immediately taken up with carting off everyone who's tied up and unconscious to a secure location. As Tres Barrancas locks down, and Mari escorts you to your quarters, carrying Omar, possibly with some help from Adelaide, the combat may be gone, but the tension and the uncertainty of what exactly it was and what exactly it means follows you through hushed hallways, meets you in frightened gazes, and in mistrustful whispers, all the way into bed and further into fitful sleep.
Tales from World Asunder is Luisa Zanardi as Mila, Nick Sturman as Adelaide, and Simon Ivchevich as the world falling apart around them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
This tale from World Asunder is brought to you by Heroes Munitions, now proudly part of the Battenkirk Battery family. We've got guns, we've got bullets, we've got knives, we've got it all. Looking for something more exotic? Try our selection of archaically modified swords and harpoons.
And don't forget to check out
our newest line of Survey Corps-grade rifles and sabers. Sure to keep you safe even past our last shop in Lacuna Station.